In the name of Jesus, amen. We've relived Holy Week. We pushed and shoved to see the parade and shouted our throats hoarse on hosannas. We were shocked at the violence of the cleansing of the temple. We crowded around the table in that upper room for bread become body, wine become blood. We sang hymns across the Kidron Valley and into Gethsemane. We nodded off to the sounds of our Lord's sobbing prayers, and then fled, feet and hearts pounding at the sound of unsheathed swords. We denied that we knew him when accusing fingers pointed our way, and we collapsed in grief at the screams of Jesus as the hammer blows shook the wood of his cross. Looking with tear-filled eyes upon that blood-soaked wood holding the dead Son of God, hear these words from Dr. Luther on the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us now meditate a moment on the Passion of Christ. The true contemplation is that in which the heart is crushed and the conscience smitten. You must be overwhelmed by the frightful wrath of God who so hated sin that he spared not his only begotten Son. Take this to heart and doubt not that you are the one who killed Christ. Your sins certainly did. And when you see the nails driven through his hands, be sure that you are pounding. And when the thorns pierce his brow, know that they are your evil thoughts. Consider that if one thorn pierced Christ, you deserve 100,000. The whole value of the meditation of the suffering of Christ lies in this, that man should come to the knowledge of himself and sink and tremble. If you are so hardened that you do not tremble, then you have reason to tremble. Pray to God that he may soften your heart and make fruitful your meditation upon the suffering of Christ. For we of ourselves are incapable of proper reflection unless God instill it. But if one does meditate rightly on the suffering of Christ for a day, an hour, or even a quarter of an hour, this we may confidently say is better than a whole year of fasting, days of psalm singing, yes, than even 100 masses, because this reflection changes the whole man and makes him new as once he was in baptism. If then Christ is so firmly planted in your heart, and if you are become an enemy to sin out of love and not fear, then henceforth the suffering of Christ, which began as a sacrament, may continue lifelong as an example. When tribulation and sickness assail you, think how slight these are compared to the thorns and the nails of Christ. If you are thwarted, remember how he was bound and dragged. If pride besets you, see how the Lord was mocked and with robbers despised. If unchastity incites your flesh, recall how his flesh was scourged, pierced, and smitten. If hate, envy, and vengeance tempt you, think how Christ for you and all his enemies interceded with tears, though he might have rather avenged himself. If you are afflicted and cannot have your way, take heart and say, why should I not suffer when my Lord sweat blood for very anguish. Astounding it is that the cross of Christ has so fallen into forgetfulness. For is it not forgetfulness of the cross when no one wishes to suffer, but rather to enjoy himself and evade the cross? You must personally experience suffering with Christ. He suffered for your sake. And should you not suffer for his sake as well as for your own? Some may recoil at the thought that on this holy and gruesome night, we have the opportunity to receive the gifts of our Lord Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. That maybe it's just a little bit too real, a little bit too soon to take and eat, to take and drink. Yet that body and blood is the same, regardless of the day upon which it's given, isn't it? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, the writer to the Hebrews says. How do you receive the benefit of Christ's death for you then? How do you receive the forgiveness of your sins, eternal life, and everlasting salvation that Jesus won that day? Not by being there when they crucified my Lord, not by some intellectual assent, not by some agreement that God was nice to you by being mean to Jesus. No. Like King David says, you open your mouth to taste and see that the Lord is good. The body of Christ, broken for you, is the forgiveness of sins placed into your mouth. The blood of Christ shed for you is the forgiveness of sins washing down your throat. It is finished, our Lord said. Salvation is accomplished. The one sacrifice has been made for you. So come then. Come to the table prepared for you before your enemies, and drink from the cup that runneth over. Eat the eternal feast given for you, that you may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.